Men, how do you relate to your father? Do you even know him? In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus invites us to call his Father our Father. So who is this Father of ours who art in heaven? Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle the tough issues men may think about but seldom talk about. We're breaking down the Our Father, this time on Crossing the Goal. We're excited about beginning a series on living the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, here on Crossing the Goal. As we meet the Crossing the Goal team, Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, who wrote a book called Living the Lord's Prayer, the founder and president of Focus, Curtis Martin, and our coach who played and coached in the NFL and the author of Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint, Danny Abramowitz. Coach Danny, the Lord's Prayer was given to us by Jesus himself, yet we seem to take it so lightly.
You know, it's amazing. You guys ever notice when we say the prayer a lot of times, our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
What's he saying?
Yeah. The only thing we really get is our Father across there. I mean, think about it. That prayer is, we need to reflect on every word that's being said. In fact, I got to give you, I hate to do this, but I got to give you credit. You sent us the content about the Our Father.
I know,
that'll be probably the last one. But anyway, you gave us some information breaking it down. And it made me, as preparing for the show, to sort of reflect on it in a deeper way, you know, as I went through it. And now when I pray the Our Father, I really, Our Father who art in heaven, I take my time and really reflect on every word. And it is powerful. It's changed my whole perspective of the Our Father.
It's good. In the last couple of years, this prayer has kind of come alive in a new way in my life. And like all of you, it's been with us since we can remember.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's moved my heart about it and why I wrote the booklet is what we're getting, I think, is an intimate look somewhat into the heart of Jesus as well. What made Jesus tick? And the apostles who knew how to pray, I mean, they were good Jews. They went to temple, right? They went to synagogue. But at one point, they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, okay, here's how you pray. They saw in the life of Jesus the difference that prayer made and he had something they didn't have. And he said, here, I'm going to teach you how to direct your prayer. The first thing he taught them was, Our Father. Prayer is about looking to the Father.
No, we have to understand that the Our Father teaches us not only what to pray, we learn that prayer as a young child, but also how to pray. And it's a watershed moment to slow down and recognize we learned the words when we were little. Now, as we're grown men, it's time to slow down and see the teaching that the words show us. And that's the purpose of the program and the whole series we're going to go after, is to look at each line and each word. When Jesus teaches us how to speak to his Father, when he shares his Father with us, he doesn't mix words. He gives us each word with powerful meaning to draw us into a relationship.
You know, we pay big money. A lot of people pay big money to get books like Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Good books, stuff like that. It helps you learn how to be successful. In this prayer, we get seven petitions. They're almost like seven habits of the human heart that Jesus wants us to develop as the foundation of a successful life, and a life that's not only going to lead to success here, but to eternal life.
And one big step there is to take it slow, to slow down and think about what we're saying. We have the words memorized, but do we think about them?
But don't you think, bringing in another thing in here, men have an easier time praying to Jesus when they do pray. The relationship with the Father, I find a lot of Catholics have a hard time praying to our Father, you know. It's more of a, I feel more comfortable with Jesus. And I don't know with that relationship what causes that, but it seemed like men are more comfortable with Jesus.
And even from that very first word, our, it sort of stresses the communal, the family nature of this prayer. I know you guys have a game plan put together for us as we launch into our study of the Our Father, beginning with Our Father who art in heaven. Curtis and Peter with our game plan, coming up next, right here on Crossing the Goal.
My prayer when I pray the Our Father is just, I can't get past Father. You know, that understanding that even though in this world we have imperfect models, and how often fatherhood is belittled in the media or belittled, you know, and for sometimes for good reason, because fathers aren't living up to their obligations, to their children, to their wives, to society. But God always lives up to his obligation. He's always reaching out to us as a father.
Peter, we're talking about the Our Father. We're just launching, getting started on this. And we look at it, Jesus gives us the Our Father in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, his longest and most famous sermon. Yes. And the theme from beginning to end really is fatherhood. 17 times in the sermon, Jesus refers to God as Father, which is really a new revelation. Why did he teach us how to pray this way?
Well, because the Father is what it's all about. In some ways, the Father is the summary or the heart of the whole Christian mission, the whole Christian message, and that is that Jesus came to reveal the Father. Jesus came to heal our human hearts so that we could see the Father. You know, the Catechism has this really devastating line about the truth of the human condition. He said when Adam fell in the garden, that something died in the human heart. And what died in the human heart was trust for the Father. And sin has clouded our capacity to see the Father, to recognize Him as our Father. And Jesus' entire mission, His coming, His incarnation, His teaching, His death, His resurrection, ascension, everything, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is all about Jesus working to reveal the Father to a race who's lost touch with Him.
Well, you think, we just talked about His longest sermon, but if you think about Jesus' probably His most famous parable is the prodigal son. Yeah. And that really is a story about a father, because it's really two brothers. It's the prodigal who runs away, yeah, and the other brother who stays home, and both of them exemplify the wrong understanding of the Father. One is a rebel. He hears the Father's rules and says, I don't want to play, I'm going to leave, and he runs away. And we find out later when he comes back, the other brother stayed, but he says, I was serving you, and the word there is, I served you like a slave. And so he heard the Father's commands, right, but reacted as a slave would. And the Father would say, I don't want slavery, and I don't want rebellion, I want your heart.
Yeah.
And Jesus comes to reveal that desire of the Father to be in union with us, for us to trust Him.
Jesus says, to see me is to see the Father. Jesus came to show us the Father, the reality of what the Father is like. So as we follow Jesus through the course of His life, we see the truth of His teaching, we see His love, His healing, His deliverance, what He brought to people. You begin to see the heart of God, what the Father is really like. But the place we really see it is on the cross. Jesus hanging on the cross in obedience to the Father, He's expressing to the world as He's hanging from the cross the nature of the Father. The nature of the Father is love. Jesus laid down His life for us because of our condition to be able to restore us to relationship with the Father so that we could participate in His sonship and live forever in happiness. That's really the whole point of it. And the message from the cross is the message about the heart of the Father.
No, and we, you know, as Catholics, we learned as children, one of the first prayers we ever learned was the sign of the cross, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The idea of God as a Father is everywhere we can possibly imagine. And we have to recognize this is absolutely radical teaching. I mean, for the ancient Jews, they might have referred to God as the Father of the entire nation, but they wouldn't necessarily have viewed God as their individual father.
Father, yeah.
In fact, if you were to go to, for example, the Muslims and call God Father, they would view that as heresy. How dare you refer to God, yeah, as Father? And yet that's precisely the gospel message that Jesus gives us. No, God is a loving Father. Yes, He's all-powerful. Yes, He rules the universe. But He rules the universe with the heart of a Father. Yeah. He wants your good, Peter. He wants my good. He wants everybody's good. And He knows how to bring that about if, yeah, we'll trust Him.
Yeah, and again, the cross is the place where that heart is most perfectly revealed. And at this meditation the other day, thinking about Jesus is communicating to us from the cross the reality of the mercy of the Father's heart, that what's at the center of the Father's heart is love. And that love is saving us, literally, from that condition of separation that we initiated by participating in sin. But at the same time, Jesus is looking to the Father, and He's communicating with the heart of a loyal son. Father, I want to give you what my brothers and sisters have failed to give you forever. I want to give you the trust, the abandonment. I want to return back the love to you that you deserve. And do justice to God, to give to God what belongs to God, is exactly what Jesus did on the cross.
No, and we have to recognize, I mean, the cross is brutal. I mean, it's, yeah, absolutely brutal when we say the love. We're told in the scriptures in the book of Hebrews that for the joy set before Him, Christ endured the cross. In other words, He wants to say to everybody, look, I trust my Father so much, and I know what He has waiting for you and for you, and I know this is going to be tough. But I'm willing to endure this because the Father's goodness is greater than you, yeah, can possibly imagine. And I'm here to give it to you and show you just how far you could go in trusting my dad.
And the message from the cross, again, is Jesus living out what He taught about the Father. He said, look, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God the Father is our lifeline. God the Father is our source, and we live by His command, even when it takes you to something like the cross. Jesus said, the Father's words, no matter what it looks like to us, are the source of life for us, and He communicated that to us from the cross.
That's why this prayer is so important, that we need to actually realize that the church gave us a great, great blessing when as children we were taught the Our Father. Yeah. But we as adults, it's our responsibility to take those childlike notions and recognize there's great depth that is also downloaded. And at some point in time, we got to grow up. We got to go back to these teachings. We've got to be able to turn to the Father and say, all right, the simple truths I learned as a child are actually deep enough to swim in for the rest of my life. I now need to break open this prayer, Lord, and learn your heart and learn as a man what it means to trust you. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. We can always count on those guys for a good game plan, Coach. We all have our own experiences with our earthly fathers. That's bound to have an impact on the way we see our heavenly Father. You ready for the red zone next?
You're waiting on me. You're backing up.
We're in the red zone. Next, right here on Crossing the Goal. Good game plan. Good game plan.
Our Father. There's two really important things to me. Number one, I like the communal nature of that prayer, that Christ was willing to incorporate us as adopted sons into that prayer. And the idea of fatherhood is very important to me.
Now, the Father gave His Son everything. He bestowed upon Him everything that He had, His own image, but He's bestowed upon Him also His glory, which the Son asked for, to return the glory to the Father. And the Son, in terms of His relationship back to the Father, He always did the will of Heavenly Father. He always tried to accomplish that will, and that way He showed His love.
We are digging into the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, here in the red zone on Crossing the Goal. Our Father, who art in heaven. You know, I was 8 years old when my father died. And even when he was alive, I was the ninth of 10 kids. So, you know, I knew my father a little bit, but we really didn't have a relationship. So I struggled with this idea of Our Father in praying this prayer.
Yeah, it's understandable that you did. And I think lots of people have misconceptions of the Father. You know, don't know how to relate to the Father, but they think, you know, he's a distant judge. He's capricious, he's impersonal, he's harsh, and I can't win. I'm always trying to balance the scales in relationship to him. And there's something really that has been broken. We talked about earlier, there's something, the human heart has been wounded, and we don't trust the Father.
Yeah, but we want to blame him for that. And I think back of all the times, you know, he's used to being blamed for a lot of things. We don't give him much credit, we give him a lot of blame. Yeah. But looking back at my own personal life, the Father didn't lead me down that path. I knew where I was going. I chose that way. He gave us a free will. All of us have a free will. We want to blame Him. I have no one to blame but me. I had this way to go or this way to go. I chose this way, the wrong way. Now, once I got back, now how could I blame the Father? I can't blame Him. It was me. Now, coming back in love, He brought me back with love and care, that I wasn't like, I have no shot. I did this. Right. He'll never forgive this. Right. I'm in trouble. Forget all that kind of business. But He brought me back. And adding to this a little bit, it was through other people. Again, I keep bringing this up because I have to.
Right.
My relation immediately didn't change with the Father. It was through other guys saying, Danny, the love of the Father, you know, this kind of thing to me. They knew I was hurt, and this helped me.
No, and I think a lot of us have been through situations where guys have helped us to discover the Father. And then at the same time, we've also been, many have been through situations where men, particularly father figures, maybe our earthly father, have also been roadblocks because we haven't seen the love that we really wanted, that we craved. You know, a lot of guys spend thousands and tens of thousands of dollars out there talking to therapists about what their dad did to them. We don't go and spend money talking to our therapist about what our mailman did to us because we don't have any expectations of our mailman. You know, get the letters there.
Yeah.
But we're hardwired with a desire to receive from our Father. And it's easy for them, even the best of fathers, to disappoint. And I know that I was very blessed. I had a great father who was very attentive. But a lot of times I think people struggle with looking at God as Father because their own earthly father figures have let them down.
You know, there's also a bigger problem. Like you hear today people say, Well, look, I mean, you're talking about having a God who's a loving father, then why do all these bad things happen to good people? You know, why these wars? Why sick children? Why all these things that seem unexplainable? He doesn't seem like, he seems like he's sitting up there and he's pretty quiet. And he's not doing anything about all this suffering, you know? And
yeah, but I mean, that's kind of an attitude. Peter, how did it all happen? You know, we're blaming him, but we're the ones, the economic crisis, greed. He didn't have, what did he have to do? He supplied us with a lot of stuff. We took it, went the wrong way. The war, we can't get along with one another. Who was it? It was man-made. It isn't God-made.
Yeah.
But I think you feel the weight of what you're saying, Peter,
right.
Because we know two things about God. The Christians claim that God is all-powerful and he's all-good. Well, if he's all-powerful and he's all-good, how can bad things happen? I mean, either he's not quite powerful enough to prevent it, or he's not quite as good as we think he is. And I think a lot of people are scandalized by that.
Sure.
And the answer to that, really, as the Catechism says, is really the entire Catholic faith is the only real answer to that. We love and serve a God who's so powerful that he can draw good out of evil.
Right.
If you think about the greatest evil ever in the history of the world, it would be the murder of Jesus Christ. But the murder of Jesus Christ becomes the occasion of the salvation of the entire world.
Right.
Even out of the greatest evil, God brings the greatest good.
Yeah, we live for that relationship with our Father, though. We need our Father's approval. I'm reminded of the story you told, Danny, about how your father was tough coaching you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But when you were out there playing, he was back there behind the backstop, and you just wanted to please him so that you could get that approval.
I want to prove myself to him. You know,
sure.
All that work and all that. I used to curse him when he used to throw the ball back at me and hit me in the shins when I was pitching at him.
Yeah.
But it made me a better pitcher,
yeah.
And I saw him there.
Did he hit you in the head a couple of times?
Oh,
did
he hit you? Yeah, he hit me in the head. But fire it in there.
Yeah,
and I would rear back. And how'd I do, Daddy? He said, 9 pitches and 3 guys out. Not bad, son.
Yeah,
you know,
right. I mean, even now, I have sons who play sports and stuff, and I often think of my father. My father passed in 1997, went home to the Lord, and I thought, boy, I wish he was here. I wish he was here to see the boys.
Yeah.
Of all the people ever lived, Dad was the one I'd love to just have sit right next to me and enjoying it with me. You know, there's nothing like relationship with your dad.
Well, that's just, you got 8 and you got 4. You have boys.
I have 3. No,
3.
I have girls.
3 girls.
Girls.
Yep.
But anyway.
Grandsons.
Have you ever competed against your sons? I mean,
I don't anymore. They smoke me every time we go out.
No,
it's history now.
I finally got smart and got out, but I beat them all the time. I used to get them so mad. Dad, just shut up. Just play.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Just shut your mouth up. Then he scores another one.
Yeah.
They wanted to beat me so bad because they wanted to prove, you know, and I wanted to keep them, hey, you ain't ready quite yet. The old man still got you.
Right.
Then one day that changed, you know.
Let me ask though, you know, Brian, you talked about, right at the top of the red zone here, you talked about, you know, your own, never really knowing your own father.
Mm-hmm.
All of us had struggles in learning how to relate to God the Father. Well, the guys who are listening are probably saying, well, great, you guys, I just don't have a relationship with God the Father. I don't know how to get it. How do you get it? How do you get this to change? What happens and how does it work? I mean,
well, for me, it was when I became a father and I realized that there was nothing that any of my kids could do that would make me stop loving them. I might not like what they were doing, but I would never stop loving them. And that gave me a sense, a little bit of a sense, of the Father's love for me, that no matter where I went wrong, he still loved me passionately.
You know, the funny thing is, I actually feel that from my earthly father, that sense of love, and yet at times, I got to tell you, I struggle. I still look towards God and say, this is a holy God, and I am not a holy guy.
I don't measure up.
I don't, I am constantly battling this sense of, remind myself of the truth of the Our Father, that, Lord, you are my dad. You revealed that. I didn't make that up.
Right.
Because I feel as though I'm constantly letting you down and that you're disappointed with me. And so it's a regular struggle for me to work through.
Well, one of the things too helped me out, you know, you pray and ask the Lord to reveal himself to you. And he revealed to me through scriptures.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'd go into scriptures and the Father, if you just go through go through the Gospels and see how you guys talked about so eloquently. I hate to say that.
Yeah.
They are pretty eloquent.
You've done a good job discipling us. So.
But, but how Jesus talks about his Father and reflects to the Father all the time, you know.
I mean, what the scripture reveals is that, I mean, Jesus, we talked up there about, this is the goal of Jesus' mission, was to restore us to becoming sons and daughters of God. Jesus said, it's better that I go to the Father than stay here with you. Remember he told the apostles that after they rose from the dead. Why?
Right.
He says, because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to lead you to all truth. He's going to lead you first to the truth about the Father.
Right.
He said, I'm going to give you a new heart, literally.
Right.
I'm going to give you a new capacity to perceive the reality of who the Father is. Because your heart is sick.
I'm going to change
and it's broken.
Inwardly.
And it's wounded.
Right.
Yeah. And the Spirit, if we pay attention, and if we, you know, prayer, reading scripture, sacraments, talking to others and fellowshipping, the Spirit gradually changes our heart, and he gives us a capacity to see the Father and then to believe what we're seeing is true for us.
And didn't the Father reveal himself to you in a very special situation in Colorado?
Well, I think he reveals himself to a lot of people in different ways, but I was laying in bed on vacation in Breckenridge, Colorado, laying next to my wife real early in the morning, and woke up, and the room was dead silent, quiet. I felt like the presence of God the Father was in the room. I mean, I've never really had that experience before.
Wow.
And I'm laying there, and I get this image. I don't see it with my eyes, but this image, like God the Father's at the foot of my bed, leaning over and looking at me with a big smile on his face. And I'm laying there, and the whole room felt so peaceful. And I said, Father, did you want to say something? And I felt like he said, yes, I do. And he looked down at me, and he said, Peter, it's really good that you exist. You are my idea.
Yeah.
And I've never had a bad idea. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, in that second, brothers, it was like just this weight just exploded off my chest. And I think it happened early in the morning because the Lord could get a word in edgewise.
Yeah.
Because it was the only time, you give me 10 seconds into the day and my mind's running off and I'm going in 10 directions. But it was the Spirit telling my spirit that God was my Father and I'm his son.
And if we're honest with ourselves, we're hardwired for that. There's a movie, Field of Dreams, where the poignant moment is where the dad and the son, who are both about the same age because of the mystery of the movie, are playing catch.
Yeah.
And it's just, wow, wouldn't it be great if you could really connect with your dad that way? And there will be a moment for each of us, the first moment in heaven, when we meet our Father, who is ever young. He's not an old guy, even though he's been around forever. He's ever young, and he will greet us as a dad, to have that spiritual catch, if you will.
And Jesus is 100% committed to making that happen.
Yeah,
that's what he's all about.
Guys, I cry on that scene in Field of Dreams. When his dad comes out to play catch, it's like, whoa.
It touches something in a man's heart.
It really does.
Getting back to the scripture thing, I think we need to be careful sometimes. That's why I recommend people to go to the New Testament, to the Gospels, rather than go into the Old Testament right away, because you get a misconception maybe. Start until you get
go to the Gospels, the story of Jesus' life, right?
Absolutely.
And then it'll bring you along slowly.
That's it for the Red Zone, all the time we have, but we do have time for one last word from you guys from the end zone. We'll do that next here on Crossing the Goal. As we wrap up our show on Our Father Who Art in Heaven, we want to give each of our Crossing the Goal team members the last word, starting with Peter Herbeck.
Thank you, Brian. One thing I want to just recommend, and as you know, the only way we're ever going to see who the Father is to see Jesus. Jesus said, to see me is to see the Father. One practical way of growing more deeply in our relationship with the Father is to read the life of Jesus and read the crucifixion scenes, the passion scenes, and as you're reading them, say, Jesus, show me the Father. Help me see the Father. And the truth about his love for me. You know, what the Father said to Jesus, that Jesus was his beloved and that his favor was upon him, that's the exact thing, brothers, he wants to say to you and me, and that's exactly what we most need in our lives.
We gotta remember, that's the most important thing. Really, we spend, guys, a fair amount of time in our lives trying to build wealth, reputation, to have a nice car, a nice house, to climb the ladder, a lot of things. And these are all good things, but we've got to realize that the greatest good is that relationship with the Father. That we could miss on all those other things, never get the wealth or the reputation or success we wanted, and yet end up in a relationship with our Father, and our life will be a complete success. Flip that around, nail everything you want. Get all the money, all the reputation, all the success you could possibly imagine. Miss the Father, you are a complete and total failure. But the Father is reaching out to you and wants to bring you into a relationship, because our Father is a king and you're his son.
Man, what I'd like you to do, we've been talking about a relationship with the Father, and that is important. The Heavenly Father is the key to the whole thing. I want you to really research and reflect on the Father, and I want you to do it in the scriptures. Psalm 139. Take that psalm and preach and think about it, listen to it, talk about it to yourself, and turn it over to the Lord, and he will reveal himself to you.
All right, Coach, that wraps it up from the end zone on Crossing the Goal. Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck, it's good to have you with us here on Crossing the Goal. Next time, we're going to take a look at the next part of the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be thy name, honoring the name of the Lord. Join us next time for Crossing the Goal.